Our scripture this morning is a little different from your usual Christmas scripture. But when I found it in the lectionary, I kept reading over it and thinking how much it reflects just how I feel. I could not be called if there were no one for me to be called to. I would have no ministry if there were no one to minister to. And yet it is in this relationship that I too am so greatly filled and fed and feel so much a part of this church family. We tend to think of the church as something apart. And indeed, it is apart from the world in the sense that we care about those spiritual things that are not worldly things. We care about that which is something different, something set apart. But we are still also very much part of what is in the world. We are still very much part of what is the hope of the world. We are still very much empowered by Christ's message to go into the world, to share, to help, to love, to take care of people. And so when Paul says to the church in Philippi how much he cares about them, I just could not help but share those same words with you because of how I feel about us. Paul talks about that the Word of God is being made complete in the church. It is through Jesus' Word being acted out, being lived by us, that the church comes to completion. It is in Jesus' teachings and promises and our sharing of those and living those and being part of those that the church grows into the kingdom of what is to be the church to come. The second coming, the perfect world, the kingdom of God. We are, right here, right now, today, a part of that kingdom. It's not a kingdom that has taken over the world as we imagine the end of time kingdom to be, but is a kingdom that rises up in the world to show the world that there is a better end than what the world can offer. Amen. I don't know if any of you have ever been hiking in the mountains. I used to live in Oregon, and one of my joys was to go up into the high country, especially in the first of the year when things were just starting to melt off and there still would be a little snow along the edges of the trails. And you'd get up into these alpine meadows and you would see a profusion of color and bloom that was just amazing. If you have to realize that at 6,000 or 7,000 feet, you get to the point of what is called tree line. The trees just don't grow because during the winter, pretty much nothing can grow above the ground. And there are these little valleys that fill up with snow and ice during the winter, and in the spring, as that melts, the life up there is so excited to have a chance to live, to grow, that some of these plants spring up and actually grow up through the edge of the snow in order to get an early start. You can walk across a meadow, and on one side where it's cooler, shadier, there'll still be snow and ice and plants just starting to come up. But on the other side, where it's been warm for a few days longer, the little plants, which are sometimes only a couple of inches tall, have already finished blooming and are starting to produce seeds. But in between, there is just a riot of color. And all these little plants are not more than a few inches tall because they only have a few days and weeks of time to grow. By the time full summer is there, the water, which they only get from the snow left over from the winter, is gone. And of course, plants don't do well. And so they die back. There'll be a little grass left, but not much. It's in that moment between the frozen winter and the warmth of summer, that they have just a little bit of time to explode in bloom and color, and it, you can almost say the plants seem to be joyous in their moment of life. And so I see the church being that bloom of the best of what we are capable of, being that moment of joyous excitement and abandon that we are when we are at our best, when we are at our most enthusiastic, when we are at our most wondrous. And in this Advent, in this celebration of the birth of Christ, is that moment when, even though it's cold outside, and it's been cold outside, even though it's in a lot of the country frozen and snowy and icy and miserable, still we have that spark of love, that spark of joy, that spark of celebration, of saying, even in this worst of times, even in the coldest of seasons, the love of our hearts springs through that coldness, comes up out of that frozen ground to say, we believe that new life is here, and will spread with abandon if given the opportunity. Jesus Christ was not just some teacher, preacher, person who had good things to say, although he certainly had wonderful things to say. He was an example of new life, of perfect life. The sinless perfection that we would all seek to strive with, the perfect relationship with God that we would all wish that we might have, that we don't expect until the next world. And yet, because he was born, because he came into the world, because he lived, we have hope. We have a chance at a second chance. We have the possibility of a transformation. We have the opportunity to be someone better than we are. And so it's in this Advent season that I ask you to think about the fact that not only do we want to reach out to each other in love and fellowship as the church and support each other in this wonderful time of family and friends and celebration, but we want to reach out to those outside the church too. And be reminded that there are people out there who don't know the story. There are people out there who think that Christmas is just about Santa Claus and sales. Nothing wrong with Santa Claus and sales now, but that's not all there is. And there are people out there who don't know that. There are folks out there who are not excited to see Christmas come because they don't know how they're going to find themselves a little extra money for a turkey or a gift. There are people out there who are not excited to see Christmas come because it's a cold and difficult season for folks who don't have a lot of money. And yet, even some of those folks who have little money have that warmth of the Spirit in their hearts, and for them, it's not so much what they have to get or to give, but what they have to share in terms of love. We light these candles as an example of bringing the light of God's love into the world. It's in Jesus' birth that the world has hope. And so we give gifts as though we were having a birthday, celebrating that joyous occasion, in order to give each other an example of the wonderful gift that God has given to us, His only Son, His perfect life, His willingness to be a sacrifice for us. Amen.